There we go. Indicates green.
Okay.
Welcome to this workshop on how to get your paper published. We have a very distinguished nurse, but he didn't start life as a nurse. He's going to be a biochemist. So he graduated from Edinburgh University with a biochemistry degree and went south of the border, that's what all Scotsmen do, to Sheffield, and there he got a doctorate. And at that point, he realized there wasn't going to be much future for biochemists in the UK, so he decided to become a nurse. He went further south to London, and he graduated as a nurse at St. George's Hospital. This man is extremely distinguished. His published paper list runs into the multiple hundreds. So you've got exactly the right man to tell you how to publish a paper. He's editor-in-chief of the Advanced Journal of Nursing, and now they've opened an open access journal called Nursing Open. Among all the other things he does, apart from travel, is he is the professor and chair of nursing at Hull University. And I know you're going to be well informed by Professor Roger Watson. Roger?
Okay, thank you very much.
So thank you very much, James. Good morning, everybody. I'm overwhelmed by the numbers of people who have turned up. Can you hear me okay at the back? Good. Can you hear me if I talk like that?
Okay.
I hate using microphones, but we'll compromise. We're going to get this sorted in a few minutes. I'm sorry about this. There's something wrong between the two, and it's beyond even intelligent people like James and I to shift it. If anybody knows how to do it, you're welcome to come and have a go. Here we go. Here's someone who's going to try. We've tried Control and Alt 4, so...
Is that Control 4 or?
That's Control 5.
Control 5?
Control 5.
Yeah, that's what we tried.
Yeah, we tried all that.
There is no... Where's the mouse?
We can take it off of that if you want.
No, actually, there were this blind sitting over there.
Okay. Oh yeah, look at that. Whoa. Thank you.
Good to think they're with us.
Right. It's Saturday, the 10th of April, 2015, and I'm in Riyadh. And that was just the introduction to my workshop this morning. There were several workshops running simultaneously, and mine had the most people, 150 people, put their name down to come to it. And I was talking, as usual, about writing for publication. A very flattering introduction by James Ware, an old friend from Hong Kong days who now works out here. He runs the Saudi Commission for Health Specialities. And the workshop went pretty well. We had a break in the middle, managed to get everybody back in. I didn't get through all the PowerPoints that I intended to, but it didn't matter because the interaction from the audience was superb. Some really good questions, and I hope the answers were good. Then we had lunch after that. There's no shortage of food here. I had lunch with James and other delegates, or other speakers, should I say, including Mike Parker, who's the president of the Royal College of Surgeons in London. And this afternoon, about 4:30, we go out and tour the sights of Riyadh, ending with a traditional Arab meal. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not a great tourist, but if I don't do that, I guess there won't be anything else to eat. And this morning I got to the gym. I thought about running, but looking out of my window here, there aren't anything resembling pavements around here, so I thought it might be discreet just to go to the gym. I will maybe have a look tomorrow morning and see if there's anywhere to run, but I think I'll just wait until I get down to Jeddah, when I should be able to run along the waterfront, I hope. It's very dusty here. I went out briefly this morning, and you feel the dust stinging your eyes as soon as you step outside, and it's blowing a very strong wind, so it's a rather hazy outlook here today, quite dull, but nevertheless it's very warm. It's in the 30s. I can't seem to get the air conditioning working in my room either, so I'm fairly hot. So that's it for today, I think, and tomorrow I've got a keynote at the conference. I'm supposed to be doing another talk tomorrow, but nobody seems to know where and when. And then on Monday night I've got a meeting with the residents here, medics and nurses, to talk about whatever they want to talk about, essentially. Dinner on Monday night and then down to Jeddah on Tuesday. I met with two very interesting men today, both recommended to me by my former PhD student Mansour Al-Yami, who picked me up last night from the airport, and they would like to come and do PhDs at Hull, so I'm just looking in to see how that might be possible. They're both very senior, very busy men, and perhaps wouldn't be able to spend all their time in Hull, so that could cause a few problems with the UK border agency, so we just need to make sure that we get everything right and not make any mistakes.
Welcome to Riyadh, the capital city of Saudi Arabia. We are now in King Fahd Street, the main street in Riyadh. You can see by your left, there is a lot of towers. Some of them they are built already, some of them under the process. We just missed the Kingdom Tower behind us now. We are going to Al Masmak consult, and we're gonna see the Riyadh city, the old Riyadh city. We are on the way for it. Until now, we're gonna tell you after that when we get there. Thank you.
Welcome. My name is Abdullah, and my colleague is Nasser. We are from a program called Scientist Gift Program. It's basically a program that introduces the Saudi culture to our guests who come from outside of the kingdom. Okay? We organize a tour. Part of the tour is to visit Al Masmak Fort. We call this Al Masmak, right? So this Al Masmak basically introduces our culture, it introduces the Saudi history, and big part of it is about religion too. So once we finish from Al Masmak, the tour basically takes about 4 hours, okay? So we hope that you don't have anything to do in the evening, right? We also visit souk, which is a market, okay? So if you want to buy anything for your wife, your girlfriend, your kids, whatever it is. And then once we finish from the souk, we go to a traditional restaurant to have a traditional meal together, okay? And at the end of it, there's something that we are going to tell you after, okay? Fine. Surprise. So, we are kind of a big group, so we need to divide ourselves into two groups, can we? So, the first group would be with my colleague Nasser, and the second group is going to be with me, because there's so much information to be taught, okay? But we don't want you to miss anything. Okay, so if we can just divide from here. I think you need to be spread out.
Can see the chat. I'll come
here. No, والله هذا اللي اقول كيف والله عافية عليكم اي
سوي انت صور
صور هذا تعال خلي خلي
العالم
الكوره. Are you joining? So basically, houses in the past, okay, used to be built of nature, okay? People used natural tools to build, to construct houses, basically. As you can see here, this is clay, okay, mixed with hay, okay? So, if you would like some water here. Would you like some water? I know, it's Saudi Arabia, it's getting hot these days, so unfortunately. The good weather has gone. So, as I said, you see that the walls are made of clay mixed with hay. Clay, why people used clay in the past? is because it's very special, because in the summer it cools down the place and in the winter it warms it up, basically. And also, if you see the rooftop, this is the those are roots of trees, okay? Just to make the building kind of strong. All right. And here's one more thing. In the past, there was no air conditioners, right? So the people would have an open area here. You know what? You know why?
Pull the air down.
What is it?
Pull the air down. Let the air flow.
Yes, exactly. It's for basically ventilation. Yeah. If you see here, this is a wind catching design. Okay. So it catches the wind, it circulates around and it goes back again. Okay? So it's kind of a natural ventilation system. Alright? So here's a picture if you look at it. You see here. Are you done taking pictures? I thought we were done. Not done yet? We I think we need to have a policy here. You know hand hold policy? Everybody should have his colleague's hand, you know? So we don't miss anyone. So this picture was taken in 1937.
I've been wanting to do that all day.
This picture was taken in 1937. Basically 1937, the year 1937 is special. Why? Why? Why is it special?
Because of the day that they had the kingdom.
What is it?
They announced the kingdom.
No.
Wasn't it?
No.
It must have been the birth of the king.
No.
37, that's what it was. The First World War? That's
2 years before World War II.
Once in Arabia?
No history. What is this?
We give up.
You give up? Okay. So, oil was discovered in 1937.
Ah, right. Ah.
1937,
really?
1937. Oil was discovered in 1937. Which was basically, there's a story behind the discovery of oil. You know, when unification of the kingdom ended in 1934, okay? And at that time, there was no resource. There was no income to the kingdom. It relied on pilgrimage season, okay, where people would come all around the world to come to the kingdom, okay, to perform the pilgrimage. And it relied on some help from British, from US, from, you know, different places, countries like that. There was no much resources. So a man, some geologists, okay, at that time, oil was discovered in Bahrain, and the geologists who discovered oil in Bahrain realized that the soil of Bahrain looked kind of similar to the soil of Saudi, especially the eastern part of Saudi Arabia. So they went to King Abdulaziz, and they told him, hey, we realize the soil is kind of the same, so we think that you have got oil. Of course, there was a good news to him. What he did was, he spoke to the British. He told them, hey guys, bring your companies and try to discover oil. The British didn't take that offer very, very seriously, which I think they're regretting. So, King Abdulaziz turned. So he turned to the US, basically, and he told them that, you know, the US straight away took that offer. And there was a company called Socal. They came here in 1932 or something like that. Yes, 1932. They started discovering oil. It took them 5 years. 5 years desperately trying their best to basically find oil. And after five years, there was a geologist called Max Steinecke. He was in New Zealand discovering oil there, but he actually asked the company to be deployed in Saudi Arabia. Why? He asked to be deployed in such place, completely, you know, nothing was there, desert, hot weather, in the middle of the desert. I don't know why, but he actually asked the company to be deployed here. And he was deployed in Saudi Arabia. So, he was basically leading the whole operation, and after 5 years of trying to discover oil, they were not able to discover oil. What happened was, the company was losing money, basically. It was spending money on the discovery of oil. So after 5 years, they spent so much money. What they did was they gave up, as our colleague just gave up, and they said to the company and to the employees who were in Saudi Arabia, just back up and come back. So Max went back to San Francisco, where the headquarters of the company was. His mission was not just to come back, his mission was to convince the board, okay, that there is oil that we haven't got yet. So he actually succeeded, and they gave him one more year. They said, okay, you have one more year to discover. And they dug, at that time, six wells. And in that year, they started digging the seventh one. So they started digging until they reached 1,350 meters down. Yes. So, which is, you know, huge. Uh-huh. So, unfortunately, they did not discover. So everybody was desperate. Max was desperate. The employees were desperate. The king was desperate. The country was desperate. Everybody was hopeless, basically. So everybody turned to Max. Hey, Max, what are you going to do now? He was sitting there. He said, we need to dig more. To dig more, he had to take permission from the company. Okay? But he did not. He just started digging more. And at 1,400 meters down, they basically discovered oil. And it was well number 7. So just 50 meters more. This is what he said, we need to dig more. And they did, and this was discovered. That was in 1957. And it was just basically good news for everybody, especially for the kingdom, you know, started to become kind of, you know, became what it is right now. That's why the year 1937 was special. Okay, can we go inside that room? All right. Yeah.
He ordered 20 men to stay in Shatib in the Alaoud area to look after their belongings and animals. Unnoticed, 40 men entered the city and made for the house of Ajlan, the governor of Riyadh, appointed by Ibn Rashid. There, Ajlan's wife informed them that her husband usually returned home from the fort 1 hour after dawn. Abdulaziz and his men settled down and waited. Next morning, as Ajlan emerged from the fort as usual to look at his horses, Abdulaziz launched his surprise attack.
Come here.
On seeing them, Ajlan ordered his men to return to the fort. Abdulaziz rushed forward to attack the governor. Prince Fahd the Janawi threw his spear, which just missed and stuck in the door. As Ajlan drew his sword, Abdulaziz parried with his rifle. They struggled fiercely until Ajlan was finally pulled back through the gate of the Maswak. But Ibn Janawi and Abdulaziz managed to force the small gate and enter the fort, enabling the main gate to be opened to let in the rest of the men. Abdulaziz and his men fought their way up the staircase and along the ramparts, killing or wounding half the garrison. Until Ajlan was finally shot dead by Prince Abdullah the Jalawi. With Ajlan dead, the remainder of his men surrendered as Abdulaziz offered to spare their lives.
Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah,
hands. Don't wink. Don't wink. Move your hands.
Done right now is basically an introduction to the to us, to our culture, to our customs, okay, to our country, to our history too. And you've been introduced to a lot of things. To basically why we go to the mosque is basically to understand us as Saudis. Okay, you need to understand our religion. Why? It's because, you know, our religion is very much integrated with our daily life. So wherever you go, okay, you see the you know, religious phenomena around. Okay, last thing is when you pass by, you see the shops shutting down, right? So that was because of the prayer. So because of that, as I said, to understand us, you need to be familiar with what? Are you sleeping, guys? Yeah? Thank you.
For that.
So after that, we're going to have some fun with traditional food. And then the surprise. Have fun.
Madame Maria, c'est maintenant que c'est une lettre de tout le
monde.
This shows a prayer bag. Prayer staff. Like 4:15, it's just called the first. It's A, the first prayer. The second one, it should be the sunrise. The third one, it should be the sunrise. There is no obligatory prayer. I'm talking about, because, gentlemen, you remember, you have five obligatory prayers and you have volunteer prayer. The best volunteer prayer, you do it at night, because it shows kind of sincerity. Nobody can see you, you can do it for him, and you feel you are close to him. Sometimes, I remember that I told the gentleman, one doctor, he told me, he was a professor, he told me, it's difficult for me to pray five times daily. Because I know that's difficult, and you would say it's difficult for you to fast the month of Ramadan, but for us, we enjoy it. If we miss one prayer, sometimes we feel something upset. And not satisfied until we pray, we do it on time. It's the same, because we do it for the sake of God. Is what about if I am making an operation and it will take 3, 4, 8 hours sometimes? What I'm going to do? If I will lift the patient, I will go to pray, he will die. I said, okay, give me the answer. What are you going to do? He said, I don't know. I said, you know, there's an exceptional cases. You have, it's allowed for you to shorten the prayer and to join the two prayers together. Like this one, if you are traveling, if you are sick, it's allowed for you to shorten the prayer and to join it, as only in exceptional cases, not all the time. First of all, let's talk about five obligatory prayer. We call it Fajr. Fajr is being the early morning. They call it 4:15. They will start praying about 4:25. Number one, forget the second one. 11:55, this morning prayer. The afternoon prayer, they will call it 24. 6:14, we call it Al Maghrib, sunset. The sunset, this time, also in the month of Ramadan, we break our fast. The last one is 7:44, this is the Isha, the one we just changed. The second one is the sunrise of the prayer. That's, it's a sign that the sun has risen. At that time, those who want, it's allowed for those who want to do a voluntary prayer, it's allowed for them to do it. But there is no obligatory prayer at that time.
So 4:15 is what you through?
4:15 is obligatory. 5:15. Still early in the morning. This is one of the reasons that sometimes people, they think that it's difficult for them. Even for some Muslims, it's still difficult. But those who has his faith in him, he will do it. And you know, sometimes people, they are not using the alarm clock. Nowadays, they are using cell phone. They get up in the morning for that because they adjust themselves to do it. Because something inside you, like an alarm, inner alarm clock, you do it every night.
Nasser, what about the children? At what age do they start praying?
To be obligatory, when you be mature, about 15. But before that, it's better that to start teaching your kids while they are 7. But by the way, it's my daughter at home, my daughters at home, they see their mother doing that. Sometimes they do it by themselves, even in 6, 7, they do it. Like in the fast of the month of Ramadan, my daughter, she started when she was about 7 years old. I told her not to do it, but she said, no, Dad, I want to do it. Because why? She was watching all the people in the environment and the house doing that, and she's watching the faces and the actions, and she can see that their parents are different in Ramadan. So she enjoying doing that and sharing with people all that. And sometimes, by the way, people in some places, more than 500, they are gathering in one place, they are breaking their fast. They are enjoying and to feel the brotherhood and the unity and applying kind of worship to the Almighty God. But it's better that to start with 7 until you have to little bit encourage him more and more. So that some people they said just start to calculate from 7 up to 15, 8 years you are teaching him. Teaching. That means it will be stuck here. So that he will not miss any prayer if you start a little bit earlier until the school. So all the teaching of Islam start with you when you are mature. To be obligatory. Except the charity if you have that level of money. If you have money, you deposit in your account for a full year.
Any other questions? If you don't have questions, we will start asking questions. See how well you are following.
Thank you, Shukran Nasser. Thank you
very much.
Well, those were the sounds from our long afternoon out from about 4 o'clock until midnight. Ended up being very interesting, although a little bit protracted. The fort was very interesting, and hearing about the history of Saudi and the history of the essentially the formation of Riyadh. And then we spent too long walking around in the souk, and it was a bit too warm, and we had to wait for the other half of the party to get back for rather a long time. Then we went to a mosque, which probably wasn't all that interesting, but a very, very nice man giving us a talk about Islam. And then finally ended up in a restaurant outside of Riyadh, about 20 minutes away from the hotel, for a large Arabic meal, which was actually quite delicious. Some people sat on the floor. I chose to sat up because I just thought I would never get up again if I sat down. But it was, all in all, a good evening, and I'm glad I went. So tomorrow I've got a keynote at the conference, mid-morning. And as far as I know, nothing else in the afternoon, although I was down to give another presentation on writing of a publication, but as I say, nobody seems to know where or when that's taking place, so maybe that was my mistake, maybe it's just been forgotten about. We'll see.